Wonderful. Hallelujah. Bless the sweet name of Jesus. Isn't he wonderful? Yeah, sister. Hey, hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Good. Praise God. Hallelujah. We love it. Amen. Yeah. That's us, folks. I'm telling you. You know, church where the Lord, when I left Eastman there, and I pastored and preached for 18 years while I was at Eastman. Well, for 15 of those, no, it was all the time that I was there, really. But for 14 of those years, the Lord called me to preach 19 and 80. And I was so happy to do that. Eastman was very good to me, and I had great supervisors that they knew I was a minister. I know my department head said to me, said, Brad, said, if you, I know your calling and your church is a responsibility, and I'm a Christian, I understand that. So if you need to take off in the middle of the day, you get a phone call, it's an emergency, then as long as everyone else knows you're gone, you got it covered, and you take off. Now, that's a blessing. What big old company with 10,000 employees, you know, does that for you? But you know, God knew what he was doing, and soon after that, the Lord led me to into the leaving and to going into the ministry in a different way. I never use the term full-time because I was always full-time, and every preacher is. Every one of you as Christians are. We're not part-time Christians, are we? No, we're full-time Christians. I would hope so. We always are. I'm not like the little boy that was the guy that got drafted into the Army, and his friends in church with him said, man, we're going to pray you'll be strong. We're going to pray you'll be real strong when you get in there. You'll be a good, strong Christian. And so he went through basic training. He came home for that little break, and his friends in church come up to him and said, well, how'd it go, man? We really been praying for you. He said, well, you know what? Said, I appreciate your prayers, but said, they never one time guessed that I was a Christian. I don't want to be that. I was a full-time minister, full-time Christian, and you are too, wherever we are. But our Lord, shortly after that, I had left Eastman, that whole policy changed, and it would have been really restrictive. Aren't you glad God thinks ahead? Thinks out of the box. Thank God he's not in the box. We got a lot of folks in the box this day in this world, but we're not there. Hey, look with me in the Gospel of Mark this morning. Chapter number 7 is where we're at. Chapter 8 will be a little bit of chapter 7. But we're continuing. We've been doing a series on the miracles of Christ. I really felt impressed, Pastor Josh and I. We really felt impressed for quite some time. My heart would really have been burdened that our people, you and I, we need to keep our eyes focused on the greatness of our God. We need to keep our eyes focused on this is the miracle working God. This is the one that's in control. You don't need government when you have God. And what communism and what socialism is that you don't need God if you've got government. Because government can do everything for you. But let me say to you and say to everyone who may be watching or listening on our podcast and on our audios, we have God and we don't need government. We have God first. Government was for the people. The people are the government. We're the ones to be the government. Amen. I'm not giving a political speech and I'm not running for a senator, although sometimes I would like to. And I'm not. But I'm not. I'm saying this to tell you that you and I, at the times that we're in right now, there's polarization everywhere. And they're galvanizing folks. But listen to me, church. We are the church of the living God. And we have one King, and his name is Jesus. We have one Lord, ruler, King, great potentate, everything. He is Savior. He's coming for us. We have one boss, just him. And we have one rule book, and that's this. I'm thankful for the United States of America. No one's more patriotic than me. If you cut me, I'd probably bleed red, white, and blue. I don't know. But I'm a child of God first. And I'm going to follow him first. I'm going to follow his word first. And the focus of these miracles is to get your eyes off of the situations around us and looking at Jesus in front of us, and looking at the one who is in control. Now, this puts us in a position where we don't have to be galvanized. We can be out there in the public square, in the voting booth, and anywhere else. We can be out there being a Christian, speaking as a Christian, speaking the truth, giving the Word of God, giving the viewpoints of God's Word. We can be there doing that and should be there doing that with others around us. And folks come up and says, are you Republican? Are you Democrat? Are you independent? We say, wait a minute, I'm a Christian. And as a Christian, I'll vote the closest values to this book. Now, I know it's not November yet, and we're not voting yet, but I'm telling you that these miracles is to get your eyes focused on whom we need to focus on. I will keep them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. This world has no peace. This world seems to be in a hopeless situation. And we see that they've lost their focus. But you and I as the church, we as believers cannot lose our focus, should not lose our focus. I was reading in Proverbs this morning, as a matter of fact, chapter 28, where it says there that the people of God, the believers, have light. We have more wisdom. We know more than others who are unbelievers. Now, I know that infuriates them because they think you and I are less than them. But actually, we're more because we have God the Holy Ghost in us, and the Holy Spirit in us gives us this light. It's not bragging on ourselves. It's bragging on Jesus. So as we travel through these miracles, what I want you to see is you and I feed on the Word of God. We feed on Jesus. We feed and are fed by the sweet Holy Spirit of God who feeds us. Now, I introduce the message with that because we're going to the second miracle of our Lord when He feeds 4,000 men besides women and children. We looked at the miracle earlier in our travels where He fed 5,000 men besides women and children. Now, He's feeding 4,000. It's a different situation. Our Lord mentions both. He reminds His disciples later on of the two incidents. He reminds them of the two miracles, of the time when He fed the 5,000, of the time when He fed the 4,000. He reminds them of this, His own disciples. He says, don't you forget this, fellows. Don't you remember how many baskets full we took up when we fed the 5? How many did we take up when we fed the 4? And they, of course, remembered then. We're slow on memory, aren't we? In these days particularly, we forget that this great God is this great God. Our songs pointed to that this morning. This great God's this great God. But the miracles of Christ and this feeding of the 4,000 is a little different than the feeding of the 5,000. The situations are different. Those things that preceded the feeding of the 4,000 is different. Let's read about it in Mark chapter number 8. In those days, verse number 1, in those days the multitude being very great, and having nothing to eat, Jesus called His disciples unto Him and said unto them, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now been with me 3 days and they have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint or they're going to pass out by the way. For divers of them or many of them came from far. His disciples answered Him, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? How can we do that here? He's asked them, how many loaves have you? They said, we have 7. And He commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and He took the 7 loaves, and He gave thanks, and He brake, and He gave to His disciples to set before them, and they did set them before the people. And they had a few small fishes, sardines, no doubt, sardines. And He blessed and commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat, all the 4,000 men. Matthew elaborates on this as more than 4,000 men besides women and children. So they did eat, and they were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets full. By the way, these baskets was not your little tiny basket you carry around with you, not a lunch pail. These baskets referred to a basket as large as a laundry basket. They took up 7 laundry baskets full of what was left over. had 12 of those with the feeding of 5,000. Had 7 here. And it says in verse number 9, they that had eaten were about 4,000. And he sent them away. What's so interesting, several interesting things about this miracle. First of all, you see, this miracle is set in Decapolis. Now, Pastor Josh preached a great message last Sunday morning. I hope you took it in. On Decapolis being an area of 10 cities, a Gentile region, not Jews, but a Gentile region mostly. And Jesus was there. And he healed the deaf and the dumb man. You can read that in chapter 7 right above, just the ending verses of chapter 7, right above what we read this morning. But immediately before he healed the deaf and the dumb man, he had cast out the devil out of the Syrophoenician woman. You remember the little woman who came to him and his disciples? See, they came to him and she begged him. She said, "Oh, thou son of David, have mercy on me and deliver my daughters grievously vexed with the devil." Jesus didn't answer. I preached on that miracle. Our Lord didn't answer at first. And the disciples were trying to send her away. You see, what had happened, what was happening then was this was a Gentile woman, and she comes to Jesus, and Jesus doesn't answer. And then Jesus says to her, not in a way to make her feel, can I say, to make her less, but to make it reality. He said, "I cannot take the children's meat and give it to the dogs. I've got to go to the Jews first." And that was his ministry. He came to the Jews first. We wouldn't have John chapter number 1. Where the scriptures tell us he came unto his own, and his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, to them that would believe on his name. So he came to his own first, and he told this little woman, I cannot give this to you. But she had the right answer. That's the best answer you can ever have. You always agree with God with what he says to you. And when he says about you, you agree with him. That's repentance. Repentance is agreeing with God. "Lord, what you said about me is true. Yes, I'm a sinner. Yes, I deserve hell. But thank God you're the Savior, and I'm trusting you as the Savior." And then she just said, "Truth, Lord. Yes, Lord, everything you said is true. But you know, a dog gets to eat the crumbs from the master's table. We get in the house. We're the house dogs. We get to eat the crumbs." And the Lord threw her a crumb. That's Tyre and Sidon, but he just moves a little way to Decapolis. These 10 cities. I'll guarantee you this woman's there, and her now daughter who is free of that demon. I believe the Mark chapter 5 description of the maniacs of Gadara, that he cast all, Pastor Josh preached on this last Sunday, cast all those demons out of there. They went into that herd of swine, and they all ran into the ocean and killed themselves, the swine having driven them insane. My Jewish friend, Brother Skrilov, says that's the saddest verse in the Bible, all that deviled ham going to waste, amen. You know a Jew would say that, converted Jew, amen. All that deviled ham going to waste. But anyway, here it is. But in this now, here she is. Our Lord's not just letting a crumb fall from the master's table. Now there's 4,000 men besides women and children there. And by the way, these were mostly Gentiles. When he fed the 5,000, they were mostly Jews. The majority of that group, when he fed the 5,000, were mostly Jews. Remember, they wanted to make him king. This group was mostly Gentiles. Those 10 cities were Gentile cities, and our Lord Jesus is preaching to them, and he's been healing their sick, and he's been ministering to them, and they followed him here, and they have gone for 3 days. They were so, can we say, infatuated and so completely taken by Jesus. They didn't even pack food. Perhaps a few had brought some. But Jesus said, "They've eaten nothing for these 3 days. They've just scrapped around and had this. I can't send them away." Boy, how faithful this group was. They'd followed Jesus. They were so filled with Jesus, they didn't bother with physical food. Ever been there before? You ever been so, you wasn't hungry, although you should have been hungry. I've been there. I should have been hungry, but I wasn't hungry because I was so full of Jesus. I had so much with God and so much God with me. so much of His Spirit, so much of His anointing and His presence that I could have cared less whether I had anything to eat or not. And for 3 days, they'd followed the Lord Jesus. What a crowd. This woman and her daughter, I'm sure, is in that crowd. I believe these maniacs of Gadara, they're in this crowd. And because that, you remember Pastor Josh preached last Sunday? That maniac of Gadara, he wanted to go with Jesus. And Jesus said, no, you stay here and tell them the great things Jesus has done for you. It says he began to publish in Decapolis. Read that, Mark 5:20. He began to publish in Decapolis all the great things that Jesus had done for him. Boy, he'd evidently had a witness, because now later on, 4,000 men besides women and children are following him. No doubt the Syrophoenician woman and her from Phoenicia and her daughter who'd been demon-possessed but now was released and set free, and they're in this group. She'd got a crumb, but now, talk about sitting at the master's table. By the way, it's wonderful to be a crummy Christian when you can get a hold of Jesus and let Jesus just feed you the crumbs from the table. But you know what? We're His children now. We can sit with Him at the table. We can enjoy Him at the table. We have the privilege. And one of these days, hallelujah for that day, the Bible says to us in the future that we'll sit down together and He will gird Himself and He'll feed us. Won't that be an exciting time? Can you imagine what that will be like? Oh my goodness. When that day we sit down with all of the children of God, all the people of God, and our Lord Jesus, that wedding supper takes place. He feeds us. What glorious time that will be. But notice in this passage, I'm giving you similarities as well as contrast. The place is different, we said. The place before where he was feeding the 5,000 was on the northeast shore of Galilee. It was around the Sea of Galilee and near Bethsaida at that time. But this time it's on the southeast shore of the region, of the capital. So as I said, the feeding of 5,000 was mainly Jews. Feeding of these are mainly Gentiles. We know that because Matthew 15:31 says, they said, oh, the God of Israel, the God of Israel. What great things the God of Israel has done. Now, I guess if I had a title of this message, I'd say, it's your time to eat. It's my time to eat. I'm not eating because I'm a Jew. I'm not eating because I have that bloodline. I'm eating because that Jesus has come to me. I'm feeding off the feast of Jesus because He's come to me. These folks fed not because they were Jews, because they said, the God of Israel has come to us. They were so right. The God of Israel's come to us. Folks right here in Southwest Virginia and Eastern Tennessee, the God of Israel's come to us, who may be watching via our YouTube or our Facebook. The God of Israel has come. This is my God, my King, and my Lord. How wonderful this is. Notice something more of these wonderful contrasts and similarities as well. The people we mentioned already, they're very faithful. They've been with the Lord 3 days, and the Lord says, I can't send them away. They've been here, they've followed me for 3 days. They've been so feasting on spiritual things, they've forgotten their physical bread. It hadn't meant anything to them. You ever been so excited you couldn't eat? Been so excited that I just can't eat. You go to a good ball game or something, you're supposed to be sitting there eating a hot dog and, you know, drinking a drink and something like that, and then it gets to be a real tight game, and before you know it, you've thrown the drink on somebody else and the hot dog's in somebody's ear, you know. How'd that happen? I got so excited. When we get to church, we quiet down when we should be really excited. These folks were excited to the point, as I've said earlier, they haven't eaten. And they are not disturbed by it. But Jesus is. Let you know the wonderful humanity of Jesus. Even when you don't know your own needs physically, Jesus knows. He'd been hungry before. Here was the God that created everything. He had been hungry before. And He knew these were hungry. Was He hungry now? I'm sure. You think He'd have went out as He was healing all of these and they'd been around Him? And can you imagine this crowd of 4,000 men besides women and children? Could we say safely 8,000 to 10,000 people? And He was in that crowd and they were wanting to just touch Him. They were trying to hear every word that He said. And our Jesus, he didn't take anything. He didn't go out there eating a Big Mac and just talking to them like this, you know. Yeah, well, I'll be. No, he was out there with them. He was in their midst. He was hungry. Jesus, the disciples, talk about a contrast here. The disciples were concentrating on how can we get rid of this group? Because, you know, we've been here. I don't know why he ain't stopped to eat yet. You know, we've not got much. This was, you say, where did them 7 loaves come from? It was theirs. They had it. Where'd the 7 loaves and the 3 cans of sardines come from? They had it as among their group. Yeah, it belonged to the disciples. So they've probably snuck over behind a bush somewhere and opened a can and they could start eating. They did that for 3 days and Jesus said, how much do you have? 7 loaves. One writer doesn't mention the sardines. Makes me wonder if the folks said, we're going to keep the sardines in our pocket. And Jesus says, no. Is that? And we finally, when they saw he was breaking the bread, they thought, my Lord, he can get 100 cans of sardines out of this. Give it to him. So our Lord takes what they had. They were, the one contrast is they were debating, how can we get rid of this group? Let's send them away. Jesus, no, they suggested that. Jesus said, we can't send them away. They're going to pass out on the way home. Some of them's come from a long way. They'll walk for hours to get home. No, 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 no. We're not going to do that. So while they're thinking on how they can get rid of the crowd, Jesus is thinking on how he can help the crowd. And that's the way it is today, ladies and gentlemen. God is thinking how I can help, how I can change the lives of people, how I can set people free, how I can get you out of demon possession, how I can get you out of drug possession, I can get you out of any kind of a control that's not my control. I can set you free. I can bring you out of this. Our Lord's there to help. He's there to change us and make us different. And as we see our Lord taking these loaves and this bread, and as he, this bread, and he multiplies it, just as his hands touch it, it just blossoms. Just touching it, it gets to be more and more and more. And this was wheat that had not been harvested the normal way. These were fish that had not been caught by a net or a hook. These were God multiplied. Sufficiency. We run out of stuff here. But our Lord Jesus is sufficient in every way, form, or fashion. And he supplies that which never grows old, which never runs out, which is always enough. How wonderful in his supply. My Lord Jesus supplies everything, and it's right out of his hands. The people were sitting down. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and walk and not faint. He said, I want all of you to sit down first. Now, he didn't give them a loaf of bread and say, sit down and eat. He said, sit down. And they all sat down. Obedience. They sat down. And then the disciples came, and he said, now, you bring me what you've got. They have the 7 loaves and the few small fishes. And he breaks it and blesses it, and it multiplies and multiplies and multiplies. And wheat from heaven, fish from heaven, wheat from heaven, fish from heaven, loaves from heaven, all fixed perfectly. And he gives to them, and he fills every one of them. They ate till they were filled completely. No one just had a nibble. Some agnostic says, oh, this, one of their reasonings is this is the same miracle as the 5,000. Well, Jesus mentioned both of them twice. So if anybody should know, it'd be Jesus. He mentioned the 5,000. He mentioned the 4,000, reminded his disciples of that. They also say, well, what he possibly could have done would take a little tiny piece and give a little piece of this to this one, a little piece of this bread and that bread. Who's going to get filled up on a crumb? We already saw a girl who our Lord Jesus, just in the crumb that he gave her from his table, her daughter was set free, and he had given her a blank check and said, whatsoever thou wilt, you can have it, sister. Your faith, whatever you will, you can have it. And now she's experiencing this. Others experience it. It's no doubt this maniacs, plural, were there, former maniacs, I ought to say it that way, and they are eating. Our Lord supplied everything, and everything was sufficient, and everything was satisfactory. Now, I say all that to say this. It's my time to eat. It's your time to eat. It's the time for this world to eat. Our Lord Jesus says, I'm feeding you. I'm the bread of life. Jesus goes on to say later, I'm the bread of life. I am. You come and eat on me. You come and eat me. You eat this word. You take this word in. You take me in. You allow the Holy Spirit to do His work in you, through you, and on you. And you take this word in and you feed on that. I will take care of you. You feed on me. And that is exactly what we need to do today. Church, listen. We have to do that. We must do that. We're living in a day where our minds are being attacked more than ever before. That's the plan of the enemy. That's Satan's plan. He started doing that back in the days when John was writing 1 John, somewhere around 90 AD in that time. Jesus had been ascended back to heaven 60 years in that neighborhood. And John says right now, that spirit of the Antichrist is here. Antichrist. Get that? That spirit of the Antichrist. The Antichrist is you don't focus on Jesus. You turn your eyes away. You focus on everything else. Focus on the problems. Focus on the philosophies. Take all these other things in. Don't focus on Jesus. When Jesus says, in these days. You remember in Revelation chapter number 3. You remember the Laodicean church. The church age we're in right now. Where Jesus, His person. His person is there, but His presence isn't. And He's standing outside the door, and He's knocking on the door of the church. And He's saying, hey, let me in. Let me in. And all they had to do is open the door. But they said, no, we're rich, we're increased with good, we have need of nothing. Their focus was on something different. They had the person of Christ. I think they had the Word, but they didn't have the presence. We need the presence and the person. We've got the Word. We got the person. In essence, the Word, the person of Jesus. Jesus is the living Word. This is the written Word. We have the person of Christ. We need the presence of Jesus. And the presence of Jesus comes through our attention to His Word. Through our worship. Through our submission. Have these 7,000 or 8,000 people not obeyed, not followed, not stayed close to Jesus, they wouldn't have been fed. Had the disciples not stayed close, neither would they have eaten, nor would they have had the opportunity to serve others as they did. And I wonder today, is our world anemic because we as the church have not stayed close to get fed ourselves? Are we getting fed and we're not willing to give to others? Or are we not close enough? Are we not right near Jesus? Well, we can take it from His hand and give it to others. I'm telling you, I want to be that close. Jesus is my source. Jesus is my satisfier. It wasn't the disciples, it was Jesus. Jesus is the sufficiency for all of us. Jesus is the supply for all of us. He's all of these things. The supply, the source, the sufficiency, the satisfier. He's every bit of this. That's who Jesus is in this book. I need His person, which I have in me by the Holy Ghost, and His special presence with me. He's promised in our church gathering. Why do you think Satan is so determined? He's done his very best to get the church numbers down. He's done that because he knows you get strength from being in a service, being in a congregation like this. And our dear ones, some who cannot attend, that they watch online, and we're grateful for that. And they're not able to be in a service. And they get some fellowship and some food for their souls like that. But others, if you're just watching just out of the fact that you don't want to be here, don't let that happen, because you need this fellowship. Now, if you have as I said, if you have issues where it's difficult for you to come, by all means, we're thankful you're there. And we're glad, and many have called us and written to us and emailed us and said, you know, we feel like we're part of your church. I'm glad for that. I'm glad they do. They said, we feel like we're part of that. We feel the warmth. They start even naming some of your all's names. You know, we're praying for Brother so-and-so, Brother David praying for him. And hey, when the choir gets up, you know, I love to hear so-and-so saying, we're praying for Debbie and the girls and name your names. And these are folks that watch online. So you all have a fan club already. Did you know that? You do. But we're thankful for it. But what we need, you cannot stay away from the food. You have to have it from the Word, the presence of Christ, the coming together as often as you can. And our Lord Jesus said, in these days where He's standing outside the door knocking, all we'd have to do is just invite. Let Him in. Realize that, hey, He wants to feed me. These folks were so enamored with Christ. They were so, can we say, taken in with everything that He had done. For 3 days, they hadn't even thought of food. But now Jesus says, they need it. And I'm going to feed them. Now, in our lives, the same thing is true. There are those days when we could swing over hell on a half-rotten grapevine and shoot the devil with a water pistol, amen? Those days that we could do that. Then there's other days that He's shooting at us with every arrow that He's got. And they hurt. And we're knocked down. And we're losing our joy. And we're losing our excitement. And we're losing our thrill. And we're losing our peace. And that is where the majority of the church world is. But no, we don't have to be. Jesus says, I am not going to send you away. I'm not going to do it. If you leave, it'll be of your own choice. If you won't eat, it'll be because you won't receive it. If you won't receive me, if you won't follow me, then it's yours. But I am not going to send you away. Now let me ask you this morning. There's so much in this. Our Lord is so wanting to feed this church. He's so wanting to feed those who are watching and listening. He's so wanting to. He's not sending you away. Matter of fact, John says, he that comes to me, I'll never cast away. And our Lord Jesus, although the disciples were encouraging Him, send them away so they could get food somewhere else. No, they've come to me. And when you have Christ, you have His Word, you have everything. So I want to encourage you, church. Listen, let us realize, number one, Jesus is not sending me away. All of these difficulties, all of these voices, all of these philosophies that's speaking to us today, all of these words that's coming across the news media and the social media, and to take your mind away from the Word, away from Jesus, and get it focused on other things, all of that is constantly at warfare in your mind as to who's going to master you, who's going to really help you. What you have to do is push this out, and just pushing out's not enough. You got to replace it with Jesus and His Word. You have to feed. Just getting empty is not enough. You have to feed. And that's what Jesus knew. So number one, He's not sending you away. Number two, you and I can simply obey and just say, Lord, I need this wonderful food of Your Word and Your Spirit. I need it. I want it. And help me stay focused on You. Help me see Jesus through all of this. As long as these people and these disciples stayed close to Jesus, they had everything. We do too. He has not changed, other than he's become even more personal, that he's in us now if we're believers. He's in you. Get closer than that. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Cannot get better than that. Now I'll just surrender and say, Lord, I want you to just fill my life. Fill it to overflowing. Lord, let them be set. Let seven baskets come out of thee. Or 12 when the 5,000 were fed. Let the seven come out. That's where it overflows to others. It's just more than you can handle. It's more than you can eat. You just share and share and share and share because that's what's in you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for the precious Holy Ghost who has ordered this service. We see how sympathetic Christ was with this group of Gentiles. Oh, my goodness. He'd been with the Jews and fed them 5,000, but now these Gentiles were hearing the God of Israel, and they were so glad that God had come to them. No doubt in this group was the former maniacs who were uncontrollable. No doubt in this group was the little mother whose daughter was demon-possessed, but now she isn't. Both of them. No doubt in this group are Gentiles from across those 10 cities. They'd followed Jesus, could not get enough of him. And then he fed them to show them that their focus was correct. They couldn't get enough of him. And they would never have to get over Jesus. He would always be there to supply. Thank you, Lord. Make us that hungry in our souls today. Let us surrender. You're not sending us away. But let us just say, Lord Jesus, feed me today. Feed my soul. Help my focus to stay on you. Don't let me be overwhelmed by what's taking place. Let me see the greatness of my God. Let me feed on his word. Let me feed by the sweet Holy Ghost that is in me. Let me feed, let me feed, let me feed on my lovely Lord. Please, Lord, encourage everyone here. Lord, then there could be some watching who have never asked Jesus to be their Savior. They've never trusted Christ. They don't have the wonderful person of Jesus in their hearts. They don't have that. The sweet Holy Ghost living in them. And I pray that right now, here in our auditorium, or those that may be watching, right now they'll simply agree with God that we're all sinners. Agree with Him. Lord, I'm a sinner. I am a sinner. I have broken your holy law. I know Jesus died for me. I know that Jesus didn't stay dead. I know he rose again alive forever. And I ask him now to be my Savior, to forgive me of my sins. And I take him as my Savior and Lord. Lord, if they in that heart of repentance and faith simply pray, you would receive them into your family. You would move into their heart and lives. And I pray that if there's any in our congregation this morning that haven't trusted you, they will. I pray if there's any watching or listening that haven't given their life to you, they will. In Jesus' name.